This time on Be the Story, we're going to talk about storyline patents. Yes, patents. Not copyrights, but patents. Storyline patents. They're real, they're here, and they're horrifying. Welcome to the premiere episode of Be the Story. I'm Tim King, and I'm sitting here with a glass of a 1999 Cabernet Merlot, which is turning out to be very much like a good story. It's complex, layered, and balanced wine, and its flavor stays with you even after you're finished. That's very good. But Be the Story is not about wine. Be the Story is a podcast about storytelling and storytellers. It's for people who love stories and independent authors in all media. That's books, music, film, computer games, even hypermedia, or whatever else you can think of. Stories, it turns out, pop up almost everywhere. Every day I see stories in places that I never expected to see them. And maybe we'll do an episode on that at some point. But like wine, story tasting is rather subjective. We each have our own opinions, our own likes and dislikes. We like different aspects of a story. And in this show, you're going to see my opinion everywhere. Especially in this episode, which is on storyline patents. Yes, you heard me right. Not copyrights that we're used to, but patents. They have many parallels to software patents, and they probably will generate many of the same problems that software patents do, especially for independent publishers and unestablished writers. So just give me a moment to collect my notes here. I'll be right back on Be the Story with Storyline Patents. Welcome back to Be the Story, the podcast for and about storytellers. Dust Rider from the I Should Be Writing forums a couple of weeks ago posted a link to a news article on eMediaWire about storyline patents. Now, patents are not like copyright. With copyright, two different people can create very similar things, very similar work, and each of these works is fully covered under copyright by its author. So if I write a short story that's substantially similar to a short story that you wrote, as long as I didn't copy your short story, I can, you know, I own the copyright on my short story just as you own the copyright on your short story. The reality is that our stories, even though they may tell essentially the same story or have substantial things in common, they're going to be different stories. I'm going to use different words than you. I'm going to have a different style. There's so many different aspects. But patents don't work like that. Patents cover ideas, and there are restrictions. You can't just come up with an idea and patent it. A patented idea, in theory, in order to get a patent, your idea has to be useful, it has to be non-obvious to people in the industry, and it has to never have been done before. If it has been done before, that in patent speak, it's called prior art. And prior art can invalidate a patent. So if you hold a patent on some idea and someone else later comes up with the same idea, even if he doesn't know anything about your patent, he didn't copy your idea, doesn't know anything about you, he just independently came up with the same idea, if you hold the patent, you can sue him for patent infringement. In court, however, he could prove that your patent is invalid. Perhaps there was prior art. You never should have been issued the patent by the Patent and Trademark Office. But in practice, this doesn't always make a huge difference. They say that in any court case, there are four parties. There's the plaintiff's lawyer, the defendant, and the defendant's lawyer. Two of these parties will win, and two of them will lose. The lawyers never lose. So, in practice, especially we just beginning writers, independent artists and developers, small publishers, we're going to have to know what these storylines are so that we don't accidentally infringe on the patents. Now, I bring this up because an actual storyline patent has been issued to one Andrew Knight of Knight & Associates, who actually has his own website at which he advocates the use of storyline patents and actually advises people on how to get their stories patented. Ironically, this news story, this news item, seems to have gotten more buzz in the technical press than in the writer community, which actually kind of makes sense to me because storyline patents are very, very similar in concept to software patents. In a software patent, you're patenting the algorithm, the idea behind the software, not the actual software itself, which is copyrighted, but you're patenting the idea that makes the software work. This particular storyline patent, Andrew Knight's patent, now I just want to read for you the abstract of it. I actually looked it up, and I put the link on BeTheStory.com. So just so that we won't accidentally use the same story idea that he's patented and so that he won't sue us, I'm just going to read this so that we all can claim that we know where not to trod so that we won't be guilty of infringing his patent. Here it is. The patent is for, quote, a process of relaying a story having a timeline and a unique plot involving characters comprises indicating a character's desire at a first time in the timeline for at least one of the following: A, to remain asleep or unconscious until a particular event occurs, and B, to forget or be substantially unable to recall substantially all events during the time period from the first time until a particular event occurs, indicating the character's substantial inability at a time after the occurrence of the particular event to recall substantially all events during the time period from the first time to the occurrence of the particular event, and indicating that during the time period, the character was an active participant in a plurality of events. Got that? In other words, all of us writers now have to become lawyers, too. As I said, this news story has gotten more buzz in the technical online press than in the writers' forums. I posted a couple of links at BeTheStory.com. Much like software patents, I think storyline patents are going to produce the same problems. You know, I used to joke with regards to software patents. I'm a software developer in the daytime. And I used to joke, software patents are just like if we could patent the story behind great literature. I mean, how stupid would that be? There are so many different stories, and most writers, they get their best ideas by leveraging off the ideas of what came before. That's where all the creativity lives. And that's where all the creativity lives in software development as well. But unfortunately, I can't joke like that anymore. So now I guess I have to think up some other crazy idea to make fun of. I know. Why don't we patent musical chord sequences in songs? I mean, I'm a musician too. You know, how many hours have I spent just finding that right chord sequence? And, you know, I've written some pretty neat songs, I think, using chord sequences that your average musician, you know, doesn't even understand. I didn't even understand, and I still don't understand them. They don't make any sense. They're new territory, although I'm sure that someone in the world has used them before. Software patents, actually, a huge debate is going on with regards to software patents, especially in the UK, where people are, in some cases, successfully lobbying. For more information on this, you can go to nosoftwarepatents.com. There are other links. I've posted them all to BeTheStory.com. The basic problem is that there are so many software algorithms being invented. So the Patent and Trademark Office can't verify which patents should be issued and which ones are just copies of prior art. It's just too big of a job to search through all of the different software algorithms that have ever been invented and find out which ones are new. And so if the Patent and Trademark Office can't handle this humongous task, how are we average software developers supposed to do that? You know, we have a full-time job developing software, actually implementing these ideas. And actually, in software development, ideas are relatively cheap. There are many, many great ideas for software algorithms, but the hard part is taking these algorithms and actually making running software. That's what takes hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and months. The same thing happens, any experienced writer, or at least any writer worth his salt, any writer who knows what he's doing will tell you ideas are very easy to come by. You know, I have it's actually a file on my computer, a list of different ideas of things that I could write about, and it is a huge list. I will never, ever, in my whole life, get through all the list of the ideas, good ideas, of things that I could write about. I just don't have the time, because the hard part about writing is taking these ideas and actually making an essay out of it, or making a story out of it, actually making, you know, something that's worth reading and that engages. And most ideas, of course, you can write about them over and over and over again, especially speakers who concentrate on one particular area of specialty. They'll talk about the same thing over and over and over again, different talks, all of them engaging, but the same basic idea behind them. So ideas are relatively easy. The difficult part is to actually turn those ideas into something that's worth listening to or worth experiencing. Now, as I found this little piece on Wikipedia, again, I provided a link at bethestory.com, a little story about John Carmack of id Software. He actually once said, quote, "The idea that I can be presented with a problem, set out to logically solve it with the tools at hand, and wind up with a program that could not be legally used because someone else followed the same logical steps some years ago and filed for a patent on it, is horrifying." Ironically, John Carmack himself was kicked by the patent system when it turned out a programming technique he had used, an algorithm he had used, well, someone else had a patent on it. This other company used their patent to force id Software to delay releasing Doom 3 until certain demands were met. This is ancient history now, and today we all know that John Carmack himself actually had invented the technique that the patent claimed was owned by this other company. Id Software probably would have won if they had been able to afford a lawsuit. But they lost, simply because that's the way software patents work in reality. Many, many software patents are issued which never should have been issued. And it's no fault of the patent office. It's just an unreasonable system, an unworkable system. The crappy writers are not threatened because their work doesn't sell. Their stories are not going to be a huge threat to patent holders. Storyline patents threaten beginning writers and independent publishers, small people who don't have the deep pockets, but who create good, innovative stuff. If a big company feels threatened by one of these creative upstarts, or if it just sees a settlement check, this big company can dig through its massive patent portfolio and find a half a dozen story patents that seem to overlap with some story that the small company made or whatever. And if these patents turn out to be bogus, maybe there's prior art, maybe there's some other problem with them, well, no big deal. The big company can always go back to its huge patent portfolio and find 6 or 7 more storyline patents that it can threaten the small company with. Now, this scenario is not just a scare tactic, unfortunately. It's actually happened in the world of software patents. Forbes reported on it in 2002, and I provided a link at BeTheStory.com to that news story. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Go to BeTheStory.com. Read more about story patents. I've set up a page there with lots of links. I think that we as writers and in the storytelling industries, we have to get together on this or else we're going to find ourselves tackled by it. But before you go off and read about that, hang on for just a second. I'm going to tell you about a poll at BeTheStory.com. I'm looking at the calendar here and looking at my vacation for the end of the year, this year. I'm going to be taking off the last 2 weeks of December from my regular day job as a software engineer. So let's call it December the 17th, that's a Saturday, through January 1st. During that time, I plan to have lots and lots of brain energy available to direct at enjoying stories, immersing myself in stories, analyzing stories, and planning things to talk about on this podcast. So go to BeTheStory.com, email me, and recommend a story that I should check out during that time. A movie I should watch, a book I should read, a computer game I should play, even a website I should check out. The only criterion is that it has a good story, something with a story arc, with a conflict, a resolution, and an epilogue. Next time on Be the Story, I'm going to be talking about layered stories, that is, using tiny story arcs to build up more complex, bigger ones. This is a technique that you probably encounter every day in the stories that you like best. The TV shows that you're always anxious to see, the novels that you consider to be classics. Most of these writers use this layering approach. I'll be giving some exciting examples of layered stories. That's on November the 28th. I look forward to seeing you then.